Series, and the series is called Your Journey Deeper, talking about how to go deeper with the Lord. We've had small groups meeting around this. In fact, be sure to pick up, if you're part of a small group, pick up your sheets, they're at the back. If you're not part of a small group because of all the things that's happening this month, pick up a sheet, do it on your own, they're at the back as you leave. And to apply this message today. So we started with setting your destination. Then we talked about choosing or planning your route. Then we talked about your traveling companionships. We talked about choosing the vehicle, which are our habits, that's going to take you where you want to go. Then we talked about packing your bags. And last week we talked about short stops, R&R short stops. During the transitions of your day, stop. Refresh your soul, refocus on the goal. We run out of gas so often, we don't stop to refresh our soul, to refocus on the goal. How many did a short stop this week? Well, I'm glad I see some hands. Remember at the end of last service, we prayed for a miracle that we'd all do it? Well, I'm still praying for that miracle. We got another week that we can work on this. But go back, listen online. Refresh yourself in that message. Taking the transitions of your day when you're shifting from one activity to another, shifting from morning to afternoon to just stop for 2 or 3 minutes, just to be alone with the Lord, to refresh your soul and refocus on the goal. And so it brings us to our last message today, and our last message is called, What's Next? What's Next? And if you have a bulletin, you can take out your fill-in sheet. And here's your first fill-in. To continue your spiritual journey, you have to take your next step. So we're going to answer the question, what's next for you? You need to take your next step. What's next? It's your next step. And we have these baptism t-shirts. I have decided, and it says on the back, taking my next step, taking my step. And so these ones that have been on their spiritual journey, they come to a point where their next step was water baptism. And they took that step of water baptism. We're all in a different place along our journey, and you need to take your next step. We focused for the last 6 weeks on a goal. We asked you the first week to zero in on one thing that you would desire. If I could do anything, I could be with the Lord, or what I'd like to see the Lord, pick that one destination. And then we asked you to plan your route, choose your traveling companions, you know, pack your bags, all the things we talked about. Maybe some of you reached it. Others, the nature of the goal, it's ongoing. But your next step is determining maybe, what's my next destination, spiritual destination? See, we're going to be moving out of this year, and our theme was going deeper. We're going to move into next year. We'll have a new theme. And so we won't be talking weekly about going deeper, but I hope you're going deeper. We're going to be finishing this series on the journey deeper, but I hope you're still on the journey deeper because it's all what we're doing. And so we're emphasizing it in these weeks, trying to give you some very practical things and inspire you to keep walking with God. But if you're going to continue your spiritual journey, you have to take your next step. Maybe you're looking back over these last 6 weeks and you're saying, you know what? Boy, I wasn't intentional enough. I don't really feel I've applied myself. You sort of feel like you've fallen down on your spiritual journey. That's okay. Get up and start again and take your next step. Don't stay down. Don't stay defeated. Don't say, oh, it didn't work. You know, get up and start again. Your next step. Now, here's the verse that goes with this from Romans 8 and verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This portion of Scripture tells us that there's two impetuses, if I can put it that way, or sources. You can walk in the flesh, or you can walk in the Spirit. It says if we're going to be righteous and be what God wants us to be and reach our spiritual goal, we need to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. Well, we could ask ourselves, what is the flesh? Well, the flesh is your life apart from God. Your life separated from God. The flesh is the natural body, but it's more than the natural body. It's your mind, your will, your emotions, the area of your soul, and how you would cope and decide your way. How do I navigate life? What should I do? What career should I go into? Who should I marry? What job should I take? You know, there's 1,001 steps along the way. And if you walk in the flesh, you're walking in your own carnal ideas, your own thinking, what you can muster, how you think is best. Flesh is that part of you that's just merely human, the spiritual part removed from you. You do not want to walk in the flesh. You want to walk in the Spirit because you were designed to walk in the Spirit. God designed us to be body, soul, and spirit. Our body makes us world conscious. Our soul makes us conscious of ourself, our mind, will, and emotion. And our spirit makes us God conscious. And so we knew that we were born in sin and we're spiritually dead, but we can come alive in Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But now, but when you walked your life out, you're to walk according to the Spirit because the Spirit was meant to be the guiding force within you. But we all have this choice. Walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. Now let's go on and see what he says and we can, and what I've said if it isn't here in Scripture. The very next verse, Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So your mind focus is important. Again, that walking, you need to walk in the Spirit. Not just walk by what you think, your attitudes, how you feel. Oh, I think it'd be good to do this. That's walking in the flesh. It seems like it's good, but let's see what it says if you do that. Go on to the next verse. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you want to have life, that sense of fulfillment, peace in your heart, it comes out of following the Spirit. If you are just carnal, carnal means just fleshly. If you're carnal, then you'll just go by what you think or what everybody else thinks. And my friend said to do this, and the majority of people do this. You're carnally minded. But that's going to lead to death. It's going to take things away from you in every area of your life. Goes on to say in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity with God, against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. You cannot please God by running your own life. A lot of people think they can. Oh, I'm a pretty good person. The Scripture says no. If you just go by your own natural thinking, doing what you think is best, you won't please God. You won't please yourself, for that matter. And you're going to have a lot of struggles along the way. It leads to death. Now let's read on. So then, verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. Now here's the whole essence of becoming a Christian. It's not just praying a prayer of repentance, although that's part of it. And it's not just baptism, although that's part of it. We've seen that. You bury your old life. You say, I've taken Christ's life as my life, and the penalty of my sin was carried out on the cross, so I died, and I'm burying that old life. That's all important. But it says here, if you haven't received the Spirit of God, then really you're not his yet. You've removed the negative things, but you haven't embraced the positive. And when in Acts 2, when they ask, what must we do to be saved? In Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent. That's a turning of your heart back to God, softening your heart. Turn back, say, God, I need you. I can't run. It's realizing I'm not going to walk in my flesh anymore. I need something else. So you repent. Then you're baptized. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And notice the third part. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promises to you and to your children, to all those who are far off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. So this experience of salvation is, yes, dealing with your sin, but it's being filled with the Spirit of God. And why are you filled with the Spirit of God? So he can guide and direct you. And you walk in the Spirit from this point on. Now, let me read these verses, and then we'll finish off here. Verse 10, I think we are. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. That's what we talk. The part of you that was under judgment of sin is already dead. The body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So this life of Christ in you is going to prompt you and guide you. It says in Galatians 2:20 that the life we live now, we live by faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So he's living in and through us. We're dead. We've died, but his life is in us. And now our physical body is to express the Spirit of God that's within us. Now, let's go to your next fill-in. You can be alive in the Spirit, but not walking in the Spirit. You can be alive in the Spirit, but not walking in the Spirit. Listen to Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, if you live in the Spirit, it means you've received salvation. Christ's Spirit has filled you. Your spirit has come alive. You're born again. You're conscious of God now. You have a sense of his presence. You are a Christian. If we live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. It implies that you could live in the Spirit and not be walking in the Spirit. You could have spiritual life, but you're not following what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. You're walking after the flesh. You're a Christian, but now you're still in your old thoughts and your own ways and your own carnality. And you're missing what God wants for you because you're walking in the flesh. You've been sidelined. You get stuck. Your growth is stunted. God wanted more for you, but because you're not walking in the Spirit, you have life, but you're not walking in it. So you're not getting anywhere. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 3 and 2. Paul writes this church. It's a church he's writing. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For unto now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal. See, that's the flesh. You're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? See, walking in the Spirit is just being a mere person. Just your own thoughts, your own ideas, how you feel, what someone else says to you. You're just walking in that flesh. And so he writes this church. He said, you know what? I had more for you, but I can't give it to you because you're still carnal. You're still babies. You haven't grown. You haven't followed the leading of the Spirit in your life. He says in another place, when you should have been teachers by this point, but still you still need to be taught. Now, we always still need to be taught, but you know the sense of you're not getting it. You're not receiving it. Oh, I wonder if God looks at us, what stage of spiritual growth would he see? You know, if we've accepted Christ, salvation's a free gift. And he'd see that we're alive in the Lord, but are we walking in the Spirit? Are we getting to where God wants us to be because we're being guided by the Holy Spirit? Here's your next fill-in. Walking in the Spirit is instant obedience to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the best definition I can come up with and what it means to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking with someone. And so, they take a step, you take a step. They take a step, you take a step. They make a left turn, you make a left turn. Walking in the Spirit is step by step by step, moment by moment, you're being led and guided by the Holy Spirit within you. He wants himself to be real to you, where you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit. That is walking in the Spirit. Your mind is set on things above. You're not being distracted. You're not being taken away. You're walking in the Spirit. Now let's see if we can demonstrate this. John was going to be my Holy Spirit here. All right, so John's the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to walk with the Spirit. All right, let's just walk away. So we're walking along, and I'm enjoying the presence of the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit goes down there, but I'm not too conscious. I'm just thinking my own thoughts. And he goes, and you can just stop there for a moment. Now, I said, where's the Holy Spirit? I felt the Lord's with me. I'm in a situation. Now I don't know how to handle. Something's happened to me, and now I'm responding in my flesh. I'm reacting to criticism. I have envy. There's strife. There's divisions. I'm being hurt. I feel my flesh is being hurt. I'm not following in the Spirit. I've got separated from it. And it was so easy. It wasn't that hard. I mean, I just took a few steps. The Holy Spirit took a few steps. And look at the distance between us. So now I got to get back. And we say, oh, Lord, I want to come back. I want to walk with you. So we start walking again. And all of a sudden, the Spirit stops and starts walking the other way. But I'm not too, I just keep walking. And again, I think, oh, I'm in my flesh again. If I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I have to do it step by step, moment by moment, sensing the turns, sensing when the Holy Spirit is pausing. I'm walking in the Spirit because he's going to lead and guide me into all truth. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Walking in the Spirit. Listen to what John 16:13 says. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So the Holy Spirit is meant to be our guide. Now, when Jesus was here in the flesh, Jesus was the Son of God, but in the flesh, he was just a man. He died in the flesh. You know what Jesus said? I only do the things I see the Father do. And I only say the things that I hear the Father say. Even Jesus, to walk on this earth, to fulfill his ministry, it says in another verse, Jesus did not please himself. His flesh would have wanted him to do different things, go different ways. But he was constantly walking in the Spirit. He took the short stops along the way. He'd be up early in the morning before the others, and he'd be connecting with God, refreshing his soul, and refocusing on the goal. Lord, what do you want me to do that day? He didn't get distracted. He was constantly walking in the Spirit. It says at his baptism, he has anointed me to preach the gospel. And his whole ministry is described there, but it was an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the man, Christ Jesus, to fulfill his calling and his destiny. If Jesus needed, how much more do we? See, he's the Son of God and we're sons of God. He wants to fill us in the same way. He's put his Spirit within us. And now we're to walk in the Spirit, walk by faith, and be very sensitive to what the Spirit says, because the Spirit will speak to you. It won't be in the natural ear. It'll be a spiritual sensing, a spiritual prompting. And so we go back to our definition. Walking in the Spirit is instant obedience to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. Because if you're walking with someone, and how many times has this happened? We did a tour to Israel 10 years ago, and we're going again, and you know, you need to sign up if you're going with us. But in that group, someone would just stop for a moment to watch something or talk to someone, and the group kept going. And I'm the host, and I'm sort of, where is that person? I have to go back and find them. Now, they didn't mean to be separated from the group. They just got distracted for a moment. And how quickly you can have distance in a little distraction. You stop to tie your shoe. You're walking with someone. And you're with a group. You tie your shoe and you look up and they're way down the road. And you're running to catch up. And you think, all I did was stop to tie my shoe. How did they get so far ahead? Because they kept moving. and you stop walking. And we need to walk in the Spirit, moment by moment, step by step. Here's your last fill-in. There is a tension and correlation between planning your way and having God direct your steps. See, because we're flesh, it still goes through my mind, my will, and my emotions. And so there's a directing of my mind. There's a directing of my emotions. There's choices that I make and things to do. And that's what we've focused on the last 6 weeks. We've been talking about you planning your way. Set your destination, plan your route, companions, pack your bags, short stops, vehicle you're going to travel in. We talked about all those things. Planning your way. But there's a verse here in the scripture, Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now here's the tension and correlation between this. You have a sense of what God has for you. And he lays many times the destination on our heart. Like when Saul was saved, he was persecuting the church. Light shines out of heaven. He's knocked down to the ground. He's blind. He's taken into a city. The Lord speaks to Ananias, says, you go and pray for Saul. Well, Ananias says, I don't know. Lord, did you hear what he's doing to us Christians? And he says, it's okay. He's a chosen vessel. So Ananias goes and he prays for him. And Paul repents. He lays hands on him. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the prophecy was, and you are going to be a witness before kings. And I just forget the exact words. But he tells Paul his destiny, even in that moment of being saved, that you're a special vessel. You're going to stand before kings and authorities, and you're going to present. Well, Paul had to agree with that and say, "I that's the way." But the Lord directs the steps. You set your path towards your destination, that which, again, the Holy Spirit's guiding you. Here's where I want to lead you. He gives you a vision. But now, you start towards it, but walk in the Spirit. He'll take you places, cause you to do things that you never would have done on your own. If you're going to go to greatness, he's going to walk you down paths of servanthood. Your flesh will not want to serve. Your flesh will constantly say, well, what's in it for you? They don't appreciate what you're doing. Why should you be the one to do this? Others don't seem to be involved. But see, they're not walking the route of greatness. They're not following the Holy Spirit. They might have the life of Christ, but they're not walking in the Spirit. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, he's going to teach you how to love. He's going to teach you how to serve. It's going to take you a different path. And you just have to trust the path because you're walking in the Spirit. And you got to die to yourself and your own ideas and your own will. And you say, Lord, whatever you want. You say yes before he asks you. Say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. See, you have to predispose yourself. If you're going to have instant obedience to the initial promptings of God's Spirit, you got to be predisposed to obey. It's like getting up in the morning. You set your alarm for 6 o'clock. The alarm goes off. So easy just to hit it and go back to sleep. Unless you're predisposed, when the alarm goes off, I'm getting out of bed. You'll give yourself all the I've been so intense, especially to get up to pray in the morning. Set the alarm, all agreed, but the next morning when it goes off, well, maybe I'll just pray a little later. I don't have to pray right now, and you go back to sleep. Unless you're predisposed to say no. When that alarm goes off, I'm going to get out of bed. So you have to do the same with walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit, you're sensing his, and when he first speaks to you, not the second time, not the third time, the first time he talks to you, the initial promptings, now you're going to walk in the Spirit. He's going to take you places you wouldn't go. But you're just inclined. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. The devil will put all kinds of barriers up between you and your next step. So you can't take your next step. And your situation's different. You can't take your next step. And Satan wants to tell you, you got to stop here. Don't obey that lie. Don't listen to it. Realize it's a constant walk forward. And whatever the Lord's prompting you to do, do it quickly. Respond to it. And you'll spare yourself a lot of problems. Many times we fall into sin because we don't obey the initial promptings. He might prompt you not to go somewhere, but you miss that one, so you go there. Now you're in a situation, and he might prompt you to, again, say, you know what, you probably should leave. But you stay there. Now the temptations come, and you fall into temptation. And you say, oh, this is so strong, I couldn't resist. Well, he told you way back at the beginning not to go. And you would have been spared the whole thing. But we miss that prompting. If you walk in the Spirit, obey the initial promptings of God's Spirit. Years ago, I used to drive school bus when we first started the church to supplement my income. And I took kids on excursions. And I remember taking them down to the science fair. Of course, as the bus driver, you get to travel when you get in. And so, because they're there for the whole day. And we went to this display of this guy. It's interactive, and he had this container of liquid nitrogen that is so extremely cold. And so he did different. He had this rose. He took this rose, and he felt it and had the people sniff it. It was a rose. And then he dipped it down into the liquid nitrogen. And when he pulled it out, it was all white. And then he tapped it on the counter, and it shattered into 1,000 pieces. And he did this different times with different items. He'd dip it in, tap it on the counter, and then it splattered. And then everybody gasped because he took his fingers and he dipped them in the liquid nitrogen and pulled it out. And I mean, really, everyone's... And then he took his hand and tapped it on the counter, and nothing happened. And then he talked about, I can't remember all of it now, but there was a scientific, there's moisture around your fingers. And he said, it's a shield. And he said, if you put your fingers in and take it right out, you're insulated. But he said, if I had a pause 2 or 3 seconds in there, he said, my whole fingers would have been frozen. I don't suggest you try this. But you know, I was standing there, and I thought, that's just like sin. The Bible says that God gives us a way to escape it, every temptation that comes our way. There's no temptations taken us, but which is common to man. And God has provided a way to escape. You know the way to escape? Is the prompting of His Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But what we do, we pause. He's prompting us, take your fingers out, move out of that, don't stay in that situation, but we linger. And when we do, it bites us. And then we say, oh, I don't know, God didn't deliver. He gave you a way of escape. It was a prompting of His Spirit earlier, but you missed it. Walk in the Spirit, instant obedience to the initial promptings of God's Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He will guide you step by step to your destination, to your destiny, doing things you never thought you could do. God's got a plan and purpose for every one of you. Don't get sidelined. Don't miss it and walk in the flesh. Being a Christian, living in the Spirit, but not walking in the Spirit. So what's next for you? It's your next step. There's something for you to do. Oh man, if you could see what God's heart, it's like everyone's leaning over heaven. I'm just humanizing this. And they're waiting. Who in that congregation will get this? Because it'll take them to a tremendous destination. He's talking about the very thing that Satan uses to keep people from being their best, from being a Christian but not fulfilling. And they're looking at you. You're hearing this morning. This is God's word to you. Walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And you don't know, we don't know how to get to the destination. All we know is take your next step. Sometimes he doesn't tell us the whole pathway. And he says, take this step. And you go, well, I don't see how this step takes me anywhere. Just take it. Then he'll show you the next step. Then he'll show you the next step. And step by step, you'll be amazed where it takes you. And what God has for you is tremendous and powerful and significant and influential. You're not a nobody. You're a somebody. God has put his spirit in you. He has plans for you beyond your imagination. It says the plans he has for us are without number. He's so excited about you. But if we don't respond, he's prompting, he's prompting, he's prompting. And then we walk in the flesh and we become like children. We have strife and envy and divisions. And we wonder, well, I guess Christianity doesn't really work. It's because we haven't walked in the Spirit. We haven't laid hold of the spiritual dynamic. You've had forgiveness of sin, but you haven't had the empowering that you've had the empowering, I believe, because the Bible says he'll put his spirit within us. You live in the Spirit. But now you got to walk in the Spirit. Instant obedience to those promptings. So in a moment, I'm going to have those that have been baptized to come up. And we're going to lay our hands on them. What? That they would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there's nothing in our hands that's any special. It's just that it's a point of contact and it's a focus of your faith. And just as in the Bible, after people were baptized, they laid hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to lay hands on these people. It may not even be that this is the first time they've experienced it. Because the Bible, as we talked earlier, it's a renewing of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to, in this moment, lay our hands on them. And believing that God's Spirit is regenerating them. And that he's resident within. And knowing that that will then guide them into all truth. So I wonder if we could all stand together.